The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccount. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is the mid part of January, heading into a Patriots playoff game today. Patriots take on the Chargers this afternoon with hopes that they will head off to the AFC Championship and potentially off to the Super Bowl just a couple weeks later. Interesting and different kind of team this year. I don't know whether they'll have it in the tank to go all the way, but you never know. I don't think there's any team that is sitting here in the AFC East that looks like a clear favorite. Sure, Kansas City looks like they're playing a pretty good game of offensive football. I don't know what their defense will look like. We'll all see what happens in the week that comes today. Hey, a big shout out. I got to make a comment. So last week, I got an email from a listener who says to me that he has a problem with me. His problem is that I don't like hockey. So I made some comments about, you know, the great treat year the Patriots are having, the fabulous World Series championship that the Red Sox won, the fact that the Celtics looked like they have a great team, and the Bruins. And I said, well, who really cares about the Bruins? It's hockey. Yeah, I'm not a hockey fan, and I probably don't pay much attention to hockey and all of that. And I got to tell you the reason why. I told him, I did respond back in an email and explain to him why. Here's the truth. Here's the truth about why hockey is not one of my favorite sports. And it isn't about the sport. It's about the skill. And that skill is ice skating. I am petrified to ice skate. I'm absolutely petrified just to hold a pair of ice skates in my hands. It's like I'm holding razor blades in my hand. And here's the reason why. I play the piano. And my biggest fear is that if someday I fell flat on my face, and I know that I've put on skates when I was a kid and have fallen flat on my face, and my first reaction is to pull my fingers in to make a fist so that someone doesn't come by and amputate my fingers as they go by on the ice. Now, whether that would really happen or not, I don't know. I have the same fear with roller skates. So I don't roller skate because I could just see my fingers getting crushed. And my thought of not being able to play the piano is far scarier than me finding the ability to figure out how to ice skate. So anything that has to do with the ice, even watching Disney on ice, sorry, it just doesn't excite me. So for all of you, that do love ice skating, that do love hockey, enjoy it. I understand the Bruins are playing a pretty good game of hockey right now. My apologies to anybody who I may have offended by expressing my reluctance to want to watch or enjoy hockey, but all the power to you. It is 2019, time for New Year's resolutions. Have you broken it already? I saw a New Year's resolution that came out last week. I'm not sure if I talked about it on the radio. The New Year's resolutions were things I could keep, things where my New Year's resolution is to gain weight. That's New Year's resolution one. New Year's resolution is to sleep less, and I'll probably end up doing that. I'm sure that's going to happen. Number three, drink more coffee. I'll probably do that too. And number four, the most important one that I'm definitely going to try to keep, don't die. So those are New Year's resolutions I think I can keep. Part of the reason that we don't keep New Year's resolutions is because if they don't become a habit, they become difficult to maintain. And what I thought we'd talk about today is, as we look towards 2019, here are some habits and here are some steps and things that you could begin to think about for the upcoming year as it relates to money and it relates to your personal finances, relates to your financial life. And one thing that comes top of mind right now is, as you well know, well, I don't know this to tell you the truth because I'm taping on Tuesday. Today is Sunday. So between Tuesday and Sunday, the government could reopen, but right now it is shut down, or parts of it are shut down, as we well know. And there's lots of news stories that are out there that are talking about how these federal employees are out of work and they didn't get a paycheck on Friday. And I agree, that's unfortunate that these federal employees, they're not going to work. I mean, like, I think about the guy that works, let's say, at the Smithsonian Institute, who stands by the metal detector all day long. He's there for security, and he's there just to make sure that you're entering safely into the building. And because the Smithsonian isn't open, he doesn't have a job. He's not working, so he's not showing up there. Well, this is true, and he's not getting paid now. I think that's unfortunate, but it should also be a reminder to all of you that nothing is permanent either. Now, government work, some people might think, well, it's the government. Nothing could happen wrong. I'm going to get a guaranteed pension. I get lifetime health insurance. I get all these great things. Well, things can still happen both in private and public sector work. But one thing that we neglect to do is prepare for emergency. And if our jobs and our lifestyle are such that we live paycheck to paycheck with nothing to fall back on, that is not a problem of our employer. That's a problem of us. That's a problem of us choosing a lifestyle that we may need to modify in order to protect ourselves. Because there are certain things we can control and certain things we can't. The government shutting down for a period of time is something that you and I, frankly, cannot control. But you having an emergency fund or dollars to fall back on for a short period of time in the event that you happen to be out of work is something that you can control. And how do you do that? Frankly, by spending less. We have changed in our society over the past several decades to be a society of focusing more on wants rather than on needs. And if we can't have an emergency fund that provides us for our needs in the event of a short-term inconvenience, then that problem is on us and on nobody else. And here's something that many people don't hear. I had a client that was in the office last week, and she was furious about the government shutdown and how horrible it was that all of these people would be out of work. And I reminded her, though she still doesn't believe me, that when the government does reopen, you know what the first order of business is when government reopens? Is to restore everybody's pay to those that didn't get paid while the government was shut down. So that man that was working, a man or woman that was working at the security booth next to, you know, checking people in, that government worker that was checking people in at the Smithsonian, he's going to get a retroactive pay that will pay him back for all of the hours that he didn't work. That's how government work has happened every time the government has shut down. Now, that does not apply to contract workers, people that have a contract with the government. But if you are a government employee, if you're part of the Thrift Savings Plan, the FERS plan, all of that stuff, you are going to get retroactive pay. So some people I've heard have said, well, since I'm not working and I'm out of work as a federal employee, I will go now and apply for unemployment. And you could collect your unemployment check. However, if you get paid retroactively for the days that you did not work, you are required to pay back the unemployment that was paid to you. I will also tell you this, that the government has done a very good job of providing communications to all federal employees on notifying lenders, people that you might owe money, a mortgage to, a car payment to, whatever it might be, that says that you are being furloughed right now, that you are not getting a regular paycheck and that you would like a deferment of being able to pay that without having to pay penalties and interest. And the government is helping you with that. You are going to get, those people know that even though they've been furloughed, they are going to get paid back. And that is why, frankly, take a look to see how many protests you're seeing on the streets in Washington and in any other area where there are federal workers. Do you see people protesting? Do you see people marching the streets and complaining? No, but you see lots of newscasters complaining on behalf of people to talk about the fact that federal employees aren't getting paid. But the reality is, they'll get retroactive pay. They'll get that. Now, there are interruptions. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this and to suggest that everything is good here. This is not a fabulous situation. But I think sometimes when something difficult happens in our lives or in the lives of others, we neglect to take our own personal responsibility for what might have happened and how we could have controlled the situation differently. The government shutting down or opening up, whenever it does open up, is not something you and I can control. But having the resources, 3 to 6 months of living expenses, put aside in a savings account. And I talk about this all the time. It's called an emergency fund. Whether you're a federal employee, a state employee, or a private sector employee, having an emergency fund is meaning that you have a resource to turn to for 3 to 6 months so that you don't have to go into debt, so that you don't have to borrow against your 401k plan, so that you don't have to go to the bank and say, lend me money, or go to a parent or go to somebody else and say, I need money. You have the ability to control that. And sometimes the ability to control it is painful. What that means is saying, you know, kids, mom and I can't pay for all of this stuff anymore. We need to create an emergency fund for us. Or maybe we don't go out to eat as much. Or maybe we make coffee at home. Or maybe we bring our lunch. Or maybe we don't go shopping all the time and we wear our clothes a little bit longer and stretch them out a little bit longer. You know, I've heard this idea that comes up every year around this time of year about shopping in clothes. I mean, when I look at my closet, I mean, the stuff that I throw away, that I give away and clean out of my closet, people are like, wow, you just gave away a ton of clothes. And I look at my closet and I feel like I didn't make a dent. You've probably heard this suggestion to take everything that you have on hangers. Now, this is assuming that you hang your clothes up. But everything that you have on hangers, put them all on hangers and turn them in the opposite direction so that the hook is facing out towards you. And every time you take an article of clothing that you're going to wear and then gets washed, you put it back on the hanger, put it back in the traditional way that would be hung up. And after 6 months, take a look to see how many hangers have actually been turned around. And I think you will be amazed, absolutely amazed, that probably 80% of the items in your closet are never worn. Yet you insist, oh, well, someday I might need that all black shirt with the white collars. And hey, you never know, I might have to do a country western dance and I'll need that little embroidery on the front of my shirt. And really? Think about how good you'll feel if you could take those hangers, that clothing, and put it in a Goodwill bin, bring it to a family who's had their house burnt down, bring it to a family that truly could benefit from it. And so what if there are still tags on the clothes and you say, well, I bought this and I never wore it. Well, that's something that you can control. Goes back to the whole control thing. Ask yourself, when you buy something just because it's on sale, are you buying it because it's on sale or because it's something you're going to wear? Folks, we need to do a little bit of self-examination of how we handle our lifestyle and our money. And that's what we do here on Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday morning. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about a few more financial goals and a few more lessons that you can think about in 2019 to better prepare yourself for your financial future. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Did I rattle your cage a little bit in that last segment? You know, I was just sitting here talking to my producer, Tony, and he was not aware that federal employees were actually going to get paid back for all of their time off. And if you really think about it, if you weren't going to get paid back, wouldn't you be out screaming and yelling and protesting? But you're not seeing that. Now, if you're a contract employee, you're pretty ticked off. But take that up with your employer, because you're not employed by the federal government. You've chosen to work through an environment that hires, you know, that the federal government has hired, and there's different arrangements. But yeah, like what I said in the earlier segment, you need to focus on what you can control. And what you can control is making sure that you have an emergency fund that's there to provide for your immediate and important fixed costs for 3 to 6 months. And if you don't have that, nothing else matters when it comes to money. And I'm serious about that. Your participation in your 401k plan, your saving for your child's education, your planning for your own retirement, paying for your kid's phone bill, or helping mom and dad with their nursing home care. If you don't have an emergency fund to fall back on in the bank, you failed. I'll be dead serious. You failed. Blame no one else. Stop it. I feel like I'm talking to my kids. But. No buts. Take responsibility for your actions and do it. Set up an emergency fund. Your investment account, not your emergency fund. Your 401k plan, not your emergency fund. Your cash value of your life insurance policy, not your emergency fund. The money that you have in the bank, I don't care if it earns 0% interest. 3 to 6 months. If it's not there, you have failed. I know that's harsh, but you want financial advice in a language you can understand? That's what that is. Call it tough love, call it a reality check, but that is the fact. Let's hope you have that. All right, next issue. Other things to think about as you start heading into 2019. I want you to do something that you know you need to do, or perhaps you've forgotten about. I want you to revisit your beneficiary designations. I want you to think about this. Any account that you have, I don't care whether it's 401k, your life insurance policy, your house, your bank account, your IRA, whatever it is, I want you to ask yourself, are you absolutely certain that you know who will inherit your money in that particular account upon your death? Oh, my will do it is not the answer. Because in your IRA, you had to name a beneficiary. In your 401k, you needed to name a beneficiary. In an annuity account, a life insurance account, anything that has the opportunity to name a beneficiary, you've been asked to do so. Now, did you neglect to put somebody's name on there? Well, then it will go to what's called the estate of you. But I have found on several occasions that folks that have worked with previous employers, and maybe you've got your 401k, an old 401k held with a company that you worked with 25 years ago. It's very possible that the beneficiary on that account may be your mom or your daddy or your sister But you've been married for 22 years, and you neglected to name your wife. Or perhaps you still have named your first wife, and you're on your sixth. You can't say, well, that's not what I meant. You know why you can't say that? You're dead. Really? You're dead. The company that owns that investment, that holds that investment account, knows no other way to distribute that money than by what is on the beneficiary designation form. You have the opportunity to revisit and make changes to the beneficiaries on many of your documents. I would strongly encourage you to reach out to everybody, especially those that continue to maintain 401k and retirement plans with previous employers, and also with retirement plans where the previous employer might be holding money to pay you a pension someday. You may have named a beneficiary, and that may not be the beneficiary you had expected. This goes back to taking controlling what you can control and not worrying so much about the things you can't control. You can't control the direction of the stock market. You can't control the direction of interest rates. You can't control when the government will open its doors. And you can't control who will win the Super Bowl. But you can control who will get your money when you die. And if you're too lazy to take the responsibility for doing that, then you have no one to blame but yourself. And when the beneficiaries start to build some ill will around the fact that you didn't take the responsibility to do it the way you anticipated it, you can blame yourself. I mean, you remember, you'd be dead. But no one wants that. This is something you can fix. Every Sunday, we try to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to talk about the efficient frontier or the alpha or the beta or the standard deviation or the sharp ratio of your investment portfolio or how stocks correlate with bonds or anything like that. You won't hear me using those terms to describe really anything. I want to just make it simple. It doesn't matter whether you have $100 million or $10. You all have responsibilities with your money. When I sit and look out the window of my office at 41 Cross Street, and I overlook the North Shore Mall, and I look at the parking lot, and I see all of the cars that are out there in that parking lot, I imagine to myself, and I think, every single person who has a car that is sitting in that parking lot is making a financial decision that day. That financial decision is, should I buy this? Should I not buy this? Do I run credit cards? Should I pay with a credit card? What will my monthly payment be? Should I open up a credit account at Macy's? Should I buy the large soda or the small soda? Everybody is making financial decisions. And those are financial decisions, frankly, that you get to control. Now, there are a lot of people out there that are highly incentivized to help you make a financial decision that might not be the one you were planning on making. That's called sales. That's called sales. Now, you may have been drawn to the mall because you saw 40% off or best sale of the season. How many times does Macy's use that expression? Best sale of the season, or our white sale, or our President's Day sale. You still have to make a smart financial decision for you. And if you're not willing to be held accountable for that, that's your fault. Not Macy's, not the car dealership, not television, not Facebook, not Instagram, not the president, believe it or not. It is not any of those people's faults. It's yours. I try to teach this to my kids. And I tell them, look, whenever you got a problem with somebody, you got to recognize you're part of the problem. Oh, no, I was not part of this. This is this person. I said, stop. You are part of the problem. And if you're not willing to look in the mirror and say to yourself that I contributed to part of this issue, whether it was emotional, whether it was the words I used, whatever it was, then you're at fault. And just as we politically posturize ourselves from one position to another on whatever the issue might be, we all contribute to it. I think the word, I talked to my brother about this a couple weeks ago. The word hate, I think, is one of those words that has become so incredibly overused. I know growing up as a kid, my mother would never let us use the word hate in our house. You don't hate anything. Hate are for people, or hate is a word that just, there is no bending, no movement, no whatever. I just absolutely cannot imagine this. It's people that like live to kill, live to damage people, live and with no hard feelings about it whatsoever. Hate is one of those words that gets thrown around way too much. And I think that is destroying some of the conversation, because we basically take a position on something and it just says, if you don't agree with me, you're just an idiot, or you're just racist, or you're sexist. And these words, these terms, are destroying the dialogue of what happens in our country. We need to respect the fact that our opinion is just that, an opinion. And who said we're right? And that happens when it comes to money, when it comes to conversation, when it comes to taking responsibility. Because it seems to me these days that the last thing Americans want to do is take responsibility for their own actions, for their own words, and for what they do. They want to find somebody else to blame. And the only way to find financial success, I believe, in 2019 and any year beyond, is to take responsibility, financial responsibility, for your actions. We need to do that. It's important. And taking financial responsibility sometimes says, you know what? I've got to understand where everything is and what everything is worth in my life. I've got to understand when I get my paycheck, why is my take-home pay the amount that it is? Not that I'm mad that they take federal taxes, but is the federal taxes that are being taken out of my paycheck the right amount? Am I contributing the right amount to my 401k plan? What is this Medicare payment that I make, the Medicaid payment that I make every pay period? Why do I pay into the Social Security system? Understanding why you do that and what the impact is for your take-home pay, that's an important thing to know. Why do you get what you get instead of, oh, that's what I get? Why? And is it enough? You have the opportunity to take control of so many things in your life financially. And what we do here each and every Sunday is to try to give you some questions, try to spark your thinking, try to open your mind a little bit, to try to help you make financial decisions that are smart for you. And we do this by delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about some resolutions that you might want to commit to yourself and say, you know what, I can do these things. And I'm going to be better off because of it, because I plan for my future. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, it's Bill Haney, owner of the North Shore Music Theater. 2019 will be my 10th season producing shows, and what a great season we have planned.
The season opens with a high-stepping, beloved classic musical, Oklahoma. Next up, it's Disney's new musical version of the hysterical movie, Freaky Friday. Then join us for the hottest ticket of the summer, Jersey Boys. The 2019 season continues with Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard. The season will close with the area's premiere of The Bodyguard, featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. You won't want to miss a single show in 2019.
I got a funny feeling when she walked in.
Join us for a show. Visit nsmt.org.
I don't have.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. You should kind of tune in sometimes, and maybe Tony and I should turn up the speakers in here when we're on a break. Some of the conversations that we have in here, it's pretty intense, and it becomes almost like a therapy session for each of us. We really share some some pretty direct opinions about things. Anyways, I'm here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Friedman Financial has been delivering financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the surrounding community for more than 50 years. No, not me. I was in diapers when my dad started. I was two. Back in 1968, so yes, you can do the math and figure out how old I am. But hey, wait a second. 1968. Yeah, I was two. I had to think about that for a minute. My math kind of got away from me. There was a train that actually just went by on North Beverly train station, and I guess you just saw part of my ADD go by. Oh, look, a train. And that's what just happened. Anyways, we are here in the Treetop Studios every Sunday morning providing you with, what I said, financial advice in a language you can understand. I've been watching the teardown of Sears from my office. The holes are getting larger in the Sears building. I don't know if you've been watching, if you've driven by there, but that the end cap unit that over that you might want to call it the north side of the Sears building that faces 114, that now has a super large hole. That's coming down pretty quickly. And assuming we don't have much snow, I think the teardown might happen quicker than we had thought. Lots of things going on over at the North Shore Mall. I get the bird's eye view from my office at 41 Cross Street, right above Alto Forno. This month of January has been a really interesting year. We've been getting lots of calls from lots of listeners who have said to me, you know, Mark, I've been working with a financial advisor for a long time, or I've been trying to do this on my own. But October, November, and December were some pretty scary months for me. And I realized that I needed somebody that I just wanted to bounce some ideas off of. I wanted someone to help pull me in from the ledge when I saw the market was dropping. I wanted someone that I could ask reasonable questions to, whether it made sense to sell out of my portfolio, make rebalancing changes to my portfolio. Should have I added more money? Should I take money out? What are my tax withholdings? And they said to me, I felt like I didn't have anybody to turn to. And I thought that was unfortunate. Though I kind of know that that's what it's like out there. I want you to know that one of the things that we pride ourselves on at Friedman Financial is the fact that we are communicating with our clients. No, I can't call all 450 households every Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, and we don't. But one of the ways that we do stay top of mind in front of our clients, and one of the ways that we continue to communicate with you about issues of the day and issues that are impacting the financial planning lives of our clients and those in the community, is through our newsletter. And we do that with a newsletter called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. I think you'd really like it. It's free. And it doesn't result in me calling you on the phone or saying, hey, I saw you signed up for a newsletter. Would you like to come in for a free initial consultation? Or come join me for dinner? Or come? No. I just want to be top of mind for you when the time comes that you say, you know what, I need a second opinion. Or I really want to talk to somebody that will give me financial advice in a language I can understand. Someone that won't talk down to me, someone that will listen to me, someone that I can ask a question to, or perhaps through that newsletter, answer the question that that's been on the top of my mind. I've gotten calls from a few folks, or emails, I should say, from folks this past month that say, you know, Mark, I get up on a Sunday morning, I'm either driving to church or maybe heading off with the kids, heading off to breakfast. There was one person that actually said they actually get up in the morning, hop in their car and drive around just to listen to my show. I thought that was kind of odd. I don't know why you can't do that in your own house, but you want to listen to my show? Great. Thanks. I'm glad you're staying on the road. Hope I haven't freaked you out too much. But they said to me, Mark, we listen to you because I feel like, even though I don't see you, I feel like you're speaking directly to me. And that's pretty heartening, heartwarming, I should say. I mean, it's nice. I mean, that's really the goal of this show, is to try to bring up tidbits of information that will impact the lives of our listeners. Some of you will choose to work with a firm like ours. And some of you will choose to call my office, whether it's this week, a month from now, or 5 years from now, to say, you know what? Now is the time to get serious about my financial life. I'm approaching retirement. Maybe I have to choose whether I should take Social Security or not. Maybe I'm potentially being laid off or in an early retirement or in a current retirement situation. Perhaps I've received an inheritance. Perhaps I have multiple financial accounts that I just no longer want to manage. Perhaps I simply just want to change from the relationships that I have right now. If that sounds like you and you want to schedule a free initial consultation, call my office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you're thinking to yourself, you know, sounds intriguing, I'd like to get a little bit more information, you don't even have to call the office because you can go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We have a new tab on the website that says new client information. And I am actually able to track how many clicks we get on that tab. And I've been noticing more and more people are clicking on that tab just to find out what we do. And I've heard from some people that have clicked on the tab that said, I had no idea that's what you did. I thought you were just like the stockbroker I have at my local investment company or my annuity guy. Wow, you guys do a lot more than that. And you'll find that our pricing is well within the affordability range of any other financial institution or financial advisor that's out there on the street. And you'll get a lot more. Take a look at that. And then thirdly, of course, like I mentioned initially at the beginning of this, sign up for my newsletter. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on that website, and you will see a place to put in your name, your email address, and you want to drop a comment to me, you want to drop a note, I promise you, if you drop a note, I'll respond. If you said to me, if you dropped a note to me right now that said, Mark, what's your prediction for the Patriots game this afternoon? I promise you that before the Patriots game, if you send me that note, if you go to this website before the Patriots game, I will write back to you with my wrong prediction of what the Patriots will be, but I will respond to you. I respond to everybody. I love doing that stuff. That's what makes this business so local and so much fun. You know, for 50 years, we've been doing this in the community. I don't have clients that are scattered. Well, we do have some that have moved to other places, but I don't have clients that are based and start in Nebraska or New York or Alaska or Minnesota. No, our clients are right here on the North Shore. I eat at the same restaurants you go to. I shop at the same places you're at. I go to the same theaters. My kids go to school with your kids. We're local here. And I know most people want that local understood relationship. So one of the things that I think people need to do, though, is you look at your statements, and you probably got those statements this past week. With December being as bad as it was, you might be thinking to yourself, oh boy, what do I do now? And first of all, if you don't have someone to talk to about what to do now, and I'm not talking about your neighbor or your brother, I'm talking about somebody that understands your overall and entire financial situation, who can give you some guidance about, well, what do I do now? It might make sense to pick up the phone and call us, but I'm going to give you a bigger picture here. Chances are that what you need to do after looking at your statement in December, chances are the answer is do nothing. Do nothing. And here's the reason why. Things aren't nearly as bad as you think they are, or as the media has led you to believe, or the websites that you've read, or the unsolicited advertisements that you get through Facebook and Instagram and all those other places. Over the past 10 years, from 2009 to 2018, there has been one year from 2009 to 2018, where the market, this S&P 500, the unmanaged index of stocks that line up with 500 stocks based on a market cap weighting, it was only one year between 2009 and 2018 where the number was negative. Did you know that? 2009 to 2018, one year only. And remember, in 2009, March of 2009, the market hit its absolute low point in the first or second week of March. In fact, I think the Dow was somewhere in the 6,000s. 6,000s. We're in the 20,000s right now. The only time in the past 10 years when the market's been negative has been 2018. And the S&P 500 was down
6-ish percent. I'm not going to give you an exact number because it's somewhere in the sixes. The S&P 500 was down that much. The NASDAQ was down. The Dow was down, but nothing of any dramatic numbers. Even the international securities, which were down mid-teens. After 10 years, 9 years of growth, 1 year of a negative pullback, should you be concerned? Really? Now, you might say, well, Mark, you conveniently selected 2009. How about 2008? You were right. 2008 was a lousy year, and the S&P 500 fell somewhere, I don't know, in the 35 to 40% for the year. That was bad. And so how would you feel if you thought to yourself, oh, my God, we just lost 35 or 40%. I should get out. I should get out. How'd that work out for you? You put your money in CDs where at the time we're paying 1% at best, and the next 9 years went on to hit all-time high after all-time high after all-time high and so forth and so on. The whole idea is if you're investing for the long term, and I'm not talking about 40 years here, folks. I'm saying if you could afford to leave your money alone for 5 years, and not touch it, you'd be crazy to try to guess and time this market. I always find it fascinating that when you watch CNBC or some of these financial news networks, how often do you hear them talk about what are called packaged products, mutual funds or exchange-traded funds? You rarely do, yet you do see advertisements for them. But when the commentators talk, they talk about a stock, don't they? They talk about one stock that went up, one stock that went down. Here's what I'm buying. Here's what I'm selling. Here's good news about this. Here's good news about that. Are you ready to make a financial decision based upon what Cramer said? And I'm using Cramer as a generic term, meaning any of these talking heads on television. Are you basing your investment decisions on a soundbite that you heard on a financial radio show after the market has had this challenging last quarter? If you are, you're making a huge mistake. That is something that you need to stop doing. And when we get back, I'm going to talk to you about how you change that thinking and how you plan to build your financial future that benefits you, benefits your family, and allows you to sleep better at night. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when the whole know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial of Peabody. 2018 will be remembered as one of the most challenging market environments in a decade. And if you're like many, you're wondering whether your investment portfolio and overall financial plan is best positioned for the future. At Friedman Financial, we pride ourselves on delivering financial advice in a language you can understand. Let's make 2019 the year you get your financial house in order. It's your plan. It's your retirement. Let Friedman Financial help you get there.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's Mark Friedman. I'm here again for the fourth and final segment of today's show. We're in the middle of January. Hope everybody is doing well. Patriots playoff game at 1 o'clock today against the San Diego Chargers. Let's hope the Patriots can put together a balanced attack both offensively and defensively. Look, if you watch the Chargers play against the Baltimore Ravens last week, you thought to yourself, how is either of these teams even in the playoffs? And then around the fourth quarter, things started to feel a little bit more comfortable. They seemed to be a little bit more normal. I got to tell you, my feeling is whether Baltimore or San Diego showed up here in New England on Sunday, you were going to get a better effort from either one of those teams. Both of those teams are far better than what you saw last week. So the Patriots do not have a cakewalk in this one. They always try to take care of business at hand. As long as Bill Belichick says the Patriots do their job, the Patriots should be fine in this one, but anything can happen, especially you think about the
Richard
weather.
Rubino and Sam Lang are principals of Rubino and Lang LLC and R&L Insurance
Agency. So I'm rooting for him today. I'm much happier that I will be sitting on my couch watching my 70-whatever-inch TV that I have in my house with the high definition, being able to pause the game when I want, eating food when I want, enjoying it. Yeah, I'm so much gonna be so much happier than freezing my you know what's off sitting out there in Foxborough. Anyways, we are here. 2019, just a couple weeks away. 2019, jeez, I was born in 1966. I remember thinking to myself, 2000. When 2000 comes, man, I'll be old. And 19 years have since passed that, and poor Tony sitting here thinking, geez, I was born in 1965. You know, I understand what you're feeling here, Mark, right? Yeah, as he sits and giggles in the background. So, you know, when I last left, I talked to you about what you should be thinking about as you approach this next month following a pretty tough statement that you got in the mail from your investment accounts. Chances are they're down. Look, I give credit, actually, to one of my very good friends who's a fabulous, amazing financial planner and advisor. He has offices both in San Francisco and in Virginia. He deals with some really wealthy people. And he put out his newsletter this past week, and he talked about the performance, the average performance of his accounts. And we talk about the fact that the S&P 500 this year in 2018 was down 6-ish or so. And that's what a lot of people say, you know, well, I'm going to measure myself against the S&P 500. I've always argued that that's a bad way to measure yourself, especially if only half of your money might be in the S&P 500. Well, this financial advisor, in his statement, talked about the fact that their average returns last year were down 10.5%. And I thought, good for you. You know what? There are years when you will do well and years when you won't do so well. But he's willing to say that, you know what? Our average returns were worse than what you're even hearing on television. But he also explained the reason why. And the reason why was because they have had a long-standing conviction to allocating a portion or a larger portion of your stock-based investments in international securities, buying both developed markets and undeveloped markets, what are called emerging markets. There are certain years when international securities and emerging markets will do well. And if you really think about the fact, 10 years from now, who's likely to have the better trajectory or exponential growth, the United States or other countries? And I would argue certainly in favor of emerging markets, thinking that has the greatest potential. And his clients understand that. His clients have traveled the world. His clients have been to China and Russia and Brazil and India, and they see the potential. And they understand that there are times when your performance is not going to be as favorable as everybody else's, but there will be other times and over time when it will pay off. I think it's unfortunate that many of those around us rarely get to see much of the world beyond, I don't know, the mid-Atlantic states, New York and perhaps Florida. Maybe you've flown out to California. Maybe you've made a trip to Niagara Falls or to Montreal. You've visited Cancun, or maybe you've been on a Caribbean island. But have you really seen the world? And I think the emerging affluent, our people, our kids, or individuals who are in their 30s and 40s, they are going to have a propensity to say, you know what? I got to invest my money overseas. I got to buy the future. Think about this. Apple. We all have Apple. So many people have Apple phones. How many Apple products have you bought over the past 5 years? Between an iPad, an iPhone, an iTouch, and iPods, or those ear pods,
iTunes, all of those things. Think about how many things that you've bought that are Apple related. I want to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself something. Over the next 5 years, do you believe you'll buy the same number of Apple items? I know I won't. Think about how many phones you've purchased in the past 5 years. My kids came up to me and they said, Dad, we all have these iPhone 7s that we bought 2 years ago. Isn't it time for us to get new phones? And I asked them, I said, why? Do you feel like you need a new phone? And they said, no, but isn't that what you're supposed to do? Well, 20 years ago, or maybe 15 years ago, nobody had a phone, right? There's no urgency to have to replace the technology, certainly at Apple. So I want you to think to yourself, how many companies have you are you familiar with where you've bought multiple products from this company and then all of a sudden realize that perhaps there's a competitor out there where you might want to allocate some of your dollars to rather than the product that you used to buy? And I think many of those companies are overseas companies. Many of those companies have research, technology advances, a lower cost structure, whatever it might be, that might entice you to look elsewhere. I believe emerging markets might be the greatest asset class to be buying. But try to convince someone to do it. Try to convince someone to do it when it was the one of the worst asset classes in fourth quarter, down maybe 15%. I'm grabbing at a number here. It's the middle teens. How many people have heard the expression buy low and sell high? And then how many actually do it? Right? There was a guy, I've referred to him actually in years past, Bob Dahl, who's a, I believe he's now the chief economist over at Nuveen. He used to be over at Oppenheimer. And one of his rules years ago was that he would put all of his 401k money into a couple of, into the funds that were part of the Oppenheimer group at the time. But at the end of the year, he would allocate all of his money in the 401k to the worst performing fund in the 401k collection for that year. And he did no better and no worse than anybody else did. He truly bought low and he sold high. Now, at the end of the year, did he have the best performing account for the year? No, not for that year, but he'd take his money out and buy it in the thing that was underperforming. There are a lot of charts that are out there today, and we have lots of them that we show to clients that will show you historically there is no one strategy or one asset class that far outperforms everybody else on a consistent basis year after year after year after year. And what you learn is that proper asset allocation, not stock selection, drives great investment strategies. So when you're listening to CNBC and they're talking about a particular automobile maker or an oil company or an electric company that they think has the greatest future and great things going on, I would encourage you to take a step back. I would encourage you to think to yourself, you know, I'd like to hope that the automaker or the technology company that's being described is one of the stocks that's part of a fund or a packaged product, a mutual fund, an ETF that I own. Think about it. You don't hear the prognosticators on television telling you to buy the S&P 500, do you? They tell you to buy particular stocks that might be part of the S&P 500, but they're not out telling you whether to trade the S&P 500, buy it or sell it, are they? What I'd rather do is hire managers who will buy a million shares of, say, Google or Amazon or Tesla or Buffalo Wild Wings. And they make the decision as part of that one stock within the overall portfolio of their mutual fund to say, this is why we want to keep it. Here are the things that we're going to look for over the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Here are the managers that we're going to follow that are running different divisions within that company. Here's some of the run rates that we're going to look for. Here's the sales numbers we're going to check out. Here's the visits that we're going to plan to make to each of those companies.
And if they're hitting their targets, we're going to stick with it. And if they're not, we're going to sell it. Not what the Kramers of the world say on television. I would certainly trust them, the people that are buying a million shares of a particular company, rather than you who might choose to buy 11 shares. Or when you hear, oh my goodness, Amazon is selling for, and I don't even know what it's selling, let's say $1,000. I guess I'll buy 5 shares. Ooh, 5 shares. And what do you think that $5,000 will turn into? If Amazon goes up, if that $5,000 grows by 10%, you've made $550. Oh, actually, you haven't made 550. You made 50. You went from 500 to $50. 10% growth, right? Yeah. Yeah, did it. But if, or even if you, someone said, all right, you made 50% on your money. I just heard Apple's up 50%. Just using that as a number. This is just purely hypothetical here. And I invested $5,000. That means you made $2,500. Well, is that good? Is that bad? 50% sounds a lot better than $2,500, doesn't it? Folks, we got to put everything into perspective. We're in this game for the long term. We're in this game to make money over time. We're in this game to build a portfolio that allows us to say when it's time for retirement, I have something that I'm proud of and something that will be able to enrich my life through an income stream for the rest of my life. And that income stream, folks, is not going to be through dividends and interest like it did in the 80s. And in fact, back in the 80s and the 70s, or certainly in the 80s when interest rates were so high, remember, most people had Social Security and pension, and they had a nice income stream coming from their investments. The likelihood that you're going to have both Social Security and a pension is a rarity. Is a rarity. And if you've got it, congratulations. But I so too hope that you've accumulated other wealth, that you've managed your personal finances properly so that you can continue to have an income stream from three sources, or from three sources, which would be Social Security, pension, and your investments, or Social Security, your retirement accounts, and your personal investments, so that you have multiple sources of income that allow you to be flexible, that allow you to keep up with the pace of inflation, and that you can monitor and manage through both good and bad times in the market environment. Over the long term, you're going to do just great if you do it right. And if you want us to help you, that is what we do well, really well. We do this. 65% of my clients are people who are in retirement, having to manage the money that they've collected and draw an income stream from it so that they can continue to live the life that they want, and potentially and hopefully have money to pass on to the next generation if that's what they want. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. It comes out Friday at 10:30. Every Friday at 10:30, we've done over 500 issues of this. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page you want on the website. Put in your name, your email address, and we will get you signed up. That's going to do it for us this week. Wishing the Patriots all the success. Let's hope to see when we get back here that they're heading into the AFC Championship. Next week, I'll be back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff. Lost it.